What's up, witches? Welcome to season two of the Better Witch podcast, presented by the Modern Witch Network. I'm your host, Allie, aka Bronx Witch. I'm a tarot reader, Reiki master, and owner of Bronx Witch Headquarters, a spiritual shop and work chair space in the Bronx, New York. And I'm going to be coming to you every week with a new topic and a guest co-host to talk about our real life experiences as practicing witches. Because when we know better, we witch better. Our guest co-host today is Dorothy Morrison. Dorothy has been dubbed by Publishers Weekly as a witch watch and is the award-winning author of numerous books on the ancient arts. A practicing witch since the early 70s, Morrison is an elder of the Georgian tradition of Wicca and an initiate of the Raven Mist Circle tradition. But since her true focus has always been on magic and its application to everyday living, she now considers herself to be nothing more than a witch. A title she not only embraces, but wears proudly. Morrison currently lives near New Orleans with her husband Mark and their black lab Silas. She is the proprietress of Wicked Witch Studios and the creator of the Hexology and Wicked Witch Mojo occult product lines. You can find Dorothy on Instagram at Morrison_Dorothy. This episode is brought to you by Llewellyn. Celebrate Dorothy Morrison and learn to make each and every day magical with Dorothy's insights. Whether you want to tap into the power of the sun this summer or you're looking for lunar magic tips, she's got you covered. Save 20% on her titles now at Llewellyn.com when you use the coupon code Dorothy20 at checkout, now through May 31st, 2023. Coupon not valid in conjunction with other discounts or previously placed orders. Note that you do not need to be logged into your Llewellyn.com account for the coupon to apply.
All day.
Oh, wow. That, first of all, that's beautiful. I'm so glad that you got to spend your day doing that. And I'm so appreciative and grateful that you would join us today and take time away from your planting flowers. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I you know, really, really wanted to chat with you. I had the opportunity to read Utterly Wicked, I think, last year sometime. And I just really loved your approach. I love your speaking voice, your writing voice, the really sort of upfront, down and dirty and kind of real life way that you approach the topic. For me, it was really helpful, really edifying. And I thought that chatting with you would be perfect for my little audience here that is, you know, looking to grow in their practice. So, I think we're going to have a fun time chatting today, and thank you again.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, when I initially reached out to you in my email, I mentioned a little bit about like what this podcast is all about and what the Better Witch mission is all about. And the idea behind this podcast is to have conversations with practicing witches about, you know, their experiences, their insights on a particular topic to help folks who might call themselves baby witches or new witches to actually get practicing, you know, to pick up that cauldron, to grab those herbs, to light that candle, and go beyond maybe that initial learning stage and to start doing and start practicing. And hopefully these conversations give folks some confidence, give them some guidance to go ahead and make that step. But when it comes to the issue of hexing, this is something that some might say really shouldn't be practiced in the first place, you know, let alone encouraged or let alone taught or things like that. So, you know, I thought we'd maybe just sort of start there. Okay. In terms of, you know, your thoughts about even learning how to curse or hex in the first place.
Okay. You know, I'm sure that you have some listeners who are probably Wiccan, and I was for a good many years. Yeah. And one of the big tenets is that you harm no one and you harm nothing. So harm none. But people seem to miss is that you are part of the harm none. Mm. And when you allow people to harm you, then you have just gone against that big rule.
Right.
So you know, I began to really look at that. And I'm going to give you an example. If you found yourself in a car with a serial killer, would you give a damn? Yes. Would you give a damn what happened to him? All you're going to be thinking about at that point is getting the hell out of there, incapacitating that person enough so you can get out of there. Right. You don't care how he feels in his skin. You only care about keeping yours about you. And because this is a common sense thing. Okay. So the same is true, as far as I'm concerned, with hexing. You don't run around hexing people willy-nilly. But I look at hexing and cursing as self-protection and self-preservation. You know, I get tickled because I'll get an email from someone who'll say, my daughter is going through such a hard thing, and this guy is doing all this horrible stuff to her, and blah, blah, blah. And I want to hex him. Well, it depends on what you see as horrible.
yeah.
I mean, does your daughter really want out of there?
Right.
Has she called the cops? You know, I truly believe that you should exhaust all your mundane possibilities before you resort to this. Mm-hmm. So this, you know, and the other thing is sometimes people like to butt into each other's business. And so how much is helpful and how much is being a Bonesky? You have to look at all that.
Right. Yeah. There's a book called Jambalaya.
I've read it.
Yeah. Okay. So,
and I've met the author. She's fabulous.
She is fabulous. I would love to meet Louisa Tisch. She just does beautiful, beautiful work. Our book club is actually reading her newest book, Calabash of Cowries, next month, I believe. But in Jambalaya, you'll probably recall, she kind of talks about like what I've picked up as like a little bit of a test that you can carry with you. And I'm not going to quote it all the way properly, but she basically says that hexing and cursing is justified if there is an injustice being corrected that you would be willing to take the same punishment for.
Exactly.
I think that's a great guide to live by, because absolutely 100%, if I am a serial killer, I deserve what I got coming.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
So like if I'm applying that test to me, and you are kidnapping me and you're going to harm me and you are doing these awful things, absolutely 100%. And obviously we're not all in those extreme circumstances. That's probably an obvious one. But if you can apply that type of a test to the situation and get like checks on both ends, I think you're kind of in the world of like, we might be good to go here.
Well, you know, I think so. And the other thing is, I don't ever recommend that anybody do anything that they're uncomfortable with. Mm-hmm. If you're going to feel guilty about it later, then don't do it. Find another way. Yeah. I had a situation where something really and truly needed to be done. this woman had made little Femo play figures of me, another author, and my personal assistant when I had one. And they were sitting on her altar. A former coven mate told me about it, had reason to go by her house and saw this. And I got to tell you, when someone has gone to all that trouble and put you on their altar, one of two things has happened. You're either being cursed or you're being elevated to Godhead. And I didn't feel worshiped. And so I felt like, you know, something needed to be done, that the three of us needed to do something. And so the other author, it's kind of interesting because when you work magic, you tend to work with the element of your sun sign. And I did not realize that at the time.
Yeah,
the other author was a Pisces, and he put this woman in swamp water. Mm. Okay, so water, he's a Pisces, okay? I buried her in graveyard dirt. I'm a Taurus.
There we go.
But my personal assistant was kind of my little white light witch. And she, you know, wasn't comfortable with any of that. And so what she was an Aquarius. And what she did instead was she wrote this woman a letter, put it in a balloon, had it filled with helium, and sent it off.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Which is great, though. You know, she was an air sign. Okay. Right. And this was something she was comfortable with.
Yeah, that also just feels very like Aquarian too.
Yes. And but that's what I told her at the time. Don't do anything you're uncomfortable with.
Right.
And so she found a why. And I think that is a really important thing. Now, did this work? Absolutely it did. I wound up at an event and it was just supposed to be a get together. And the next thing I knew, this guy came out and said, "Oh, everybody's waiting for you, Dorothy." And I went, "What? What do you mean everybody's waiting? Oh, you're supposed to give a talk tonight. Nobody told me that." And so I walk in and there is that woman. And apparently she had engineered this little thing. But I took one look at her face and she had broken out in acne so badly that it looked as if she had the bubonic plague.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I kind of laughed about that. And, you know, I'd been doing this for a long time, this event thing for a long time. And so I sat down. Everybody was sitting in a circle and I sat down and I said, "I really wasn't prepared to give a talk." And so I looked at somebody and I said, "So what did you come here to learn?" And so that went off without a hitch. So that was great. And I was never bothered with her again. And she is still buried in, after all these years, she's still buried in graveyard dirt in my freezer. My husband's company moved us around a lot. And every time we moved, she made the trip in dry ice. So the thing is, if you freeze somebody, you can't thaw them. That is the only hassle with that.
Right. Wow. Okay. So like, you know, I think in terms of casting magic that you are comfortable with, I think that's a really important thing. If I could add that to the list of like things to check off, aside of asking the question of whether or not this is a type of action that you would feel justified having turned on you if you were doing the same thing, I think maybe another sort of test of whether or not you're going down the right path is whether or not it's a type of magic that you are comfortable with. Because for some people, the idea is so unsettling. It riddles you so much with guilt. It brings so much fear to you that maybe the best thing that you can do would be to like bless the person. Because this is something that I got as advice as well that I think is helpful advice. Sometimes you can get the same effect of a hex as a blessing. In the sense that, like, let's say, for example, you're trying to get somebody away from you. You know, like you're trying to get a coworker out of your space. If you're just trying to get them out of your space, sure, you could throw something their way that's harmful, but you could also like pray for a better job, a better place for them to go, a new house, and send them away with like blessings. So that's an alternative too.
You can.
That's the only type.
You can do this, okay?
Yeah.
But my very favorite curse is one that everybody would feel comfortable with. Okay. And it goes like this. May you be forced to eat from the same plate as that from which you served your guests. So if they're not really doing anything, nothing bad's going to happen. It has a back door.
Right.
I am perfectly willing to eat from the same plate as that from which I serve my guests.
You know, that is so great. I love that you say that because there's something that people say that I say to people when they leave my shop. Sometimes if they leave an offering on our altar or something like that, I'll say, may everything you give to me come back to you 3x3.
Yes.
A very savvy and observant witch one day was walking out and she like stopped in her track and she was like, "That could go either way, huh?" And I said, "Yeah, you're right."
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. And so that's exactly right. That may be actually a catch-all or approach.
Yes.
That people can consider. I love that. Now, you know, we were talking a little bit about like the ramifications of casting such magic and stuff, but we might be jumping ahead of ourselves a little bit in the sense that there may be some folks who are tuning into us who really don't necessarily have a clear understanding of what a hex is or what a curse is. Are these two things interchangeable and things like that? So what is your take on that? Because it seems like when you're talking, you are using them kind of flexibly. So are they the same thing to you? And what is a curse or a hex?
You know, I do kind of use those terms interchangeably. But the way I was taught was that a curse is spoken and a hex involves some kind of rite.
That makes sense. You know, curse being spoken language.
And, you know, and they are both effective. You know, sometimes, people will say, well, what about the evil eye? Because I don't know if you have children or not, but I got to tell you, all mothers instinctively know how to give the eye.
Okay. It's a superpower that is gained.
Yes. Yes, it is. Okay. And that eye, depending on who you're focusing that on, can also be a hex because even raising that eyebrow and giving them the eye is a rite of some sort. So, when mamas use it on their kids, it's one of those you'd better behave things. So,
right. Right. So I feel like curses and hexes, one, I agree. I think that makes a lot of sense. I haven't given a lot of thought myself to what the difference is because it isn't a type of magic that I feel like thankfully I find myself having to do. But I feel like beyond just the technical definition of curses and hexes, what those are is really subjective. Anyway, because I find myself struggling sometimes to even talk about what it is in the sense of like when you do something that is especially if you've already gone through the test of like, OK, I'm justified in doing this. I feel comfortable in doing this work. If you are actually justified and you are leveraging this hex or this curse in order to stop some injustice, some action, to right some wrong, etc., then isn't a hex or a curse really kind of subjective? Because like you said, you are also a part of the like the harm none. You know, you are part of the none. So it's a blessing to you, right? Let's say you're doing the work on behalf of someone else and you're helping someone else. Yes, you may be hexing or cursing their adversary, but you're blessing and protecting them.
You know that.
It's very subjective, even like, is this a curse or hex? Like, I guess it depends on who you ask, right? Like who you are in the equation.
It is, you know, you're absolutely right about that. I don't have a problem with people doing work for other people. Mm-hmm. I don't do it myself because I have discovered that when people want work done for themselves, they don't always tell you the whole truth of the thing. And they tell you the truth as they see it. And so I don't work for other people. It is subjective. It all depends on how the person who's engaging in this is seeing it. I want to bring this up, which is on topic, but a little off on the side.
Yeah,
a lot of times people wind up inadvertently cursing themselves, hexing and cursing themselves. And there is a chapter or a section in Utterly Wicked that is entitled, Is It a Hex or Is It Memorex? And I had a woman. I used to read cards at a shop in Maryland, and I had a woman come in one day, and she insisted that she was, that, you know, oh my God, she had some kind of a curse or a hex on her and blah, blah, blah. And what had happened was she'd been to some other reader who said, oh my God, you have this horrible curse on you. And it's going to take, you know, 20 candles at $20 a pop to take it off and la, la, la. And she was so upset and she didn't have the money and all this kind of stuff. And what had happened was that because this woman told her this, the client began to worry about this. And then because she was so stressed out, things began to go wrong. And so she had really cursed herself. You know, for example, when you go on vacation, the last thing you should do is say, damn, I hope we don't have a flat tire, because you've put it out there and I can promise you that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah,
you've cursed yourself. And so, sure. And so, you know, people need to be real careful, because words don't just have power. It's not just words. Thoughts have power. And they can be to your own demise if you're not careful. So, you know, I like for people to be able to strip things down to the bare bones and really look at the big picture before they do stuff like this. Because if you're going to hex somebody and you're going to go through this ritual, this little ritual to do it, that takes an awful lot of energy.
Mm.
So do you really need to expend that energy on that? Or would you rather spend that energy doing something fabulous for yourself? Somebody else.
Right. That's an important consideration. And I you know, the cursing yourself thing is a really big one. In True Magic by Jaha Mikaharik, he says that the curse that a lot of people have is a curse of self-importance. And it's that you think you're so important, or that you don't feel important. So you tell yourself that you're so important to someone that they would expel the energy necessary to curse you or hex you. And in reality, it's more likely that probably, you know, nobody is bothering. And you've really got to like look at yourself critically in terms of whether or not that it's legitimate that in fact somebody's cursing you, or you're really putting this on yourself for some reason, you know, or another. Because we talk about sending hexes, but I'm glad you bring that up about what it means to actually be on the receiving end of that, because I find that so often people think they are and they aren't. What are some of the signs that I legitimately have been cursed or hexed by somebody?
Ooh, you know, I think that is subjective too. normally I'm one of those people, you know, I don't think that anybody would do such a thing to me, because why would they bother? That, you know, I am, you know, contrary to popular belief, I'm a pretty nice person. And so, you know, I don't meddle with in people's business. I don't, you know, I don't interfere in their lives, this kind of thing. And so it'd be like, why would they do that? Mm-hmm. And somebody finally said, God, Dorothy, you know what? Some people, it's kind of like hackers, you know, some people just do that kind of stuff to see if they can. And I had a situation where a lot of things were going wrong at once. But again, I'm one of these people that just kind of figures shit happens, you know, this is life. And so these things happen and you just deal with them and so on and so forth. But, and so there were a lot of things. And then when I was on tour one time and I had a black lab named Sadie. And she was suddenly having trouble walking. And so my husband took her to the vet and they did all these x-rays. And so he tells me that she has grade 4 hip dysplasia. And they want to do this surgery where they're going to shave part of her hip bone off. And so I told him, don't do anything. I'll be home in 2 days. I'm going straight to the vet. And so I did. And so I saw the x-rays and I, something just told me, you know, people should always trust their gut. That's the whole thing. Your gut never lies. And my gut said that if we did this, she'd never be okay again. And so I told them, no, I need to think about this. And So I did. I thought about it. And there is also, there is a spell in Utterly Wicked called the Swifting of Energy. And I decided that I would do that instead. And instead of cursing anybody, because I wasn't sure where this came from, but I felt like this definitely was some kind of a curse or a hex. Because she had been just fine. Boom. And the fact of the matter is, when you have an animal, even if you have not turned it into a familiar of sorts, which I really don't believe in doing, okay? This dog was a rescue. And generally, an animal that you're real close to you will take the hit first. They'll take a hit for you. And I felt like that's what happened. And so I did this swifting of energy, which is something that takes nasty energy and transforms it in again into raw, pure energy that you can use for your own benefit. Within 12 hours, my dog's hip was fine and she was walking great. And she was jumping up in the bed and jumping in the back of the truck. Now would be a good time for a break.
This show is part of the Modern Witch Podcast Network. For more shows like it, visit www.modernwitch.com.
Wow.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. And then she lived 14 more years. Just fine. So, you know, but yes, somebody had done that. Now, so, you know, the swifting of energy is something else that you can do instead of cursing, especially if you don't know who sent this. Yes. Because energy is simply energy. It's neither good nor bad. It's what it feels like depends on with the intent in which it was sent.
Mm.
But energy is all a gift because it is the only thing that never goes away. It only changes shape and form. And the reason that we don't like to grab nasty energy is because it just doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
But as witches, all we really do is move in direct energy. So that's within our purview to change it back into what it once was.
Right. That's what we do. And I've heard more than one witch talk about that being their preferred method of action when something is thrown their way, in terms of like maybe choosing between some type of return to sender work or something like that. Sometimes they will instead just transmute that energy and use it for their own benefit rather than sending it back, because sometimes you can get yourself caught up in little, you know, they call them witch wars, little back and forth.
Well, see, and this is exactly why I don't believe in returning energy to the sender. Mm-hmm. I know that is taught. Yeah. And my teachers taught it to me until I questioned them about it. Because generally what happens with teachers is they're simply teaching what they're taught, not really thinking about how that plays out. When you return something to the sender, if that witch is any kind of witch at all, that witch has thrown up a shield. Right. So it's not going to hit them. It's going to bounce back to you. You better have your shield thrown up. And now we're going to have a magical game of ping pong. Boom, 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 boom. Right. And what's going to happen is somebody's going to eventually get tired and their shield is going to falter. You don't want it to be you. This is why I believe in transmuting that energy instead. Because, you know, as that energy is being thrown back and forth, it's gaining momentum. So why would you go through all that?
Yeah, I agree. I think that is really wise advice and clearly, you know, a reflection of you having had spent a lot of time with this type of magic and seeing how these things can kind of play out. I think that transmuting that energy, and I think that that's important too, aside from just not getting into like nasty back and forths, you know, with other practitioners, learning how to transmute that energy is also important because that's where healing comes in, you know, because a lot of witches will say the witch that cannot hex cannot heal.
Exactly.
Because we're looking at two sides of the same coin. So when you learn how to take that energy and transmute it for the better, what you have just learned is how to heal. You've learned how to take something nasty, hold on to it, and rather than letting it muck you up, actually transforming it into something positive that can then be redirected for something good. And we do this with energy healing. We do this with magic, you know, whatever the modality is. But learning how to transmute is going to also help you to heal for those of you who want to know how to do that. That's like how the other side of the coin plays in, I think.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
You know, one of the things that you talk about in your writings is fear and courage rituals. Rituals that we can engage in to help reduce our fear, to fortify our courage, to make us stronger, to make us more capable of setting up boundaries and holding them and all of those things as in a way of, in some ways, avoiding the hexing situation altogether. Because if you are diligent about your fear and courage rituals, then, and this is not like to victim blame or anything, but you may be able to avoid situations where you get violated in the first place can occur. And I was hoping you could talk a little bit more about that, because for especially witches out there who feel uncomfortable about the idea of hexing, you can kind of not, you can't prevent it entirely. If people are going to do like fucked up shit to you, they're going to do fucked up shit to you. But if you've got your boundaries in place, some of these circumstances where those things can happen and thereby hexing being like necessary or justified. So I was hoping you could talk a little bit about fear and courage rituals, like why they're important.
Well, you know, I think part of that starts with having a safe place, having your sanctuary. And for most people, that is their home. Right. So I think, you know, putting protections in place, putting good things in place to keep your home safe. And a lot of people aren't going to want to hear this. The first thing to do is clean your house.
Yes.
You know, and I'm kind of bad about that. I'm messy. My mother used to kind of excuse that by saying that creative people were messy.
Okay.
But I keep my mess contained to my work area, and my office. And but the problem is negative, nasty stuff hides in clutter.
Yeah, so true.
And I'm not going to tell people that, oh, they need to simplify and throw away 2/3 of what they've got in the house, because that is absolutely ridiculous. I'm not going to do it. I don't expect anybody else to do it. But, you know, clean that house. One of the best protections that I think, and has made me have less fear of things, when I think things are going wrong. And this can be a little messy, so especially if you have animals, so you have to be careful about where you put this. But take an onion and slice it in as many slices as you have rooms in your house. Put a slice in a dish. Okay, each slice goes in a dish, in a little bowl. You know, dollar store is great for this kind of thing, to get these bowls. And cover that slice with just plain white vinegar and put one in each room. Okay. When the slices turn brown, throw them away. Okay. Because they have collected all of this negative stuff. You are then going to feel lighter. You're going to feel more empowered, and you're going to feel like you own the world, because a lot of this is going to be off your shoulders. You know, a clean house makes you feel empowered too, believe it or not.
No, it totally does. A clean space, like even if you're only able to like tackle a desk or something like that, it just
even if you're able to tackle a closet, you know.
Yeah, you feel like, oh damn, I'm on it.
exactly. Yeah. And so a lot of this stuff is, you know, is just simple mundane stuff. In fact, you know, I think witchcraft is more common sense than it is anything.
When we were talking about that, I was thinking about a practice that I know of, which is taking a tab of camphor and putting it into some clean, clear water in a glass and placing that into each of your rooms after you've cleaned to absorb any negative energies and then throwing that out like the morning after. So there are like so many ways in which you can do it. And it's really just kind of like practical applications of cleaning agents that we're already really familiar with. We're familiar with the use of onion medicinally as like an exercising agent. We know that it rids negative energy. We know vinegar rids negative energy. If you've got some salt in your house, guys. So like these are very simple approaches, but they're very, very effective. And starting at home is a great way to just implement like the most budget-friendly magic ever.
You know, since you brought up salt, I want to address something about that too, if that's okay. Of course. I think people misuse salt a lot, okay? If you are trying to clear your house of negative energy, you need to be careful with the salt, okay? The first thing is, I always tell stories, so you're going to have to forgive me, Allie.
Absolutely. What? That is why you are here.
Okay. Well, I lived in a house in Missouri that was owned by twin sisters, and they were both in their 70s. They were born in that house. They lived there all their lives. And then when they were in their 70s, they decided to sell the house and buy a new one. Who does that? But they did. So it was a rental. Okay. The person I sold it to, you know, rented it to me. And I have, as I said, I'm a messy person. And all of a sudden I was running around emptying ashtrays that had one cigarette butt in there, and not just emptying them, but wiping them clean. I was wiping down kitchen counters. I was wiping down doors. I was doing all this stuff. My friends came over and said, "What the hell is wrong with you? We're not just having coffee anymore. This is like high tea." And so anyway, it finally occurred to me that there was what I call home spirits. Sometimes spirits are born of a collective energy in a house or in a space. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, that gives them life. And so this was the energy of the previous owners. And so I thought about this, and I called all of my friends that had little kids, and I asked them if they would bring their children over at an appointed time. And we opened the doors and the windows, and I had the kids run in and out through the house, yelling and screaming and raising hell. And then brought them in to laugh as hard as they could. And I promised them if they did a good job, I'd take them all out for ice cream. Thanks. Which I did, okay? But after that, I closed the windows and the doors. And I put salt all the way, sprinkled salt all the way around the house boundaries outside. Okay? Because I sealed that in. And then, you're going to laugh at this. Then I asperged the house with a mixture of whiskey and cigarette ashes.
I like that.
Because it was my house.
Right.
And so anyway, that worked real well. But what happens a lot of times is there's negative stuff in the house, and people think, oh, salt can't, you know, that negative stuff can't cross salt. The problem is, though, they don't chase the stuff out first. And so they seal it in. It can't cross it, so it can't get out now.
Got it. Yeah, that's an important consideration that maybe we don't make so much when laying down a salt line. You can use salt as like a sweeping agent, too. I've seen people do that, like throw salt down in a space and then sweep the salt like out the front door.
Yes.
And use the salt itself to help to clear out that energy and then draw that circle line out. But first getting that energy out of there. And the salt is nice because one of our coven members was talking about how their mom back in Jamaica would basically do the same thing. In the morning, she would always like sweep the house from front to back, but then she would throw like her first urine of the day out in the yard.
Yes.
And is, you know, maybe more appealing to like the neighborhood board. You know, maybe the whiskey and tobacco ash is a little bit better. But the idea here is you're like putting down your energy in that space and not expecting the salt to do that work. Like that part you're going to need.
Yeah, exactly. You know, some people are going to think this is nasty. Okay. But if you have floors that can be mopped in your house, a lot of people will use a mixture of their urine and cayenne pepper to mop floors. Okay. And what happens with that though, is when the floor is dry, generally there is kind of like a white film. And so then you sweep that up, that will, you know, if you'll just sweep it. And people go, oh, that's so nasty. But you know, that it really isn't that take care of, you know, any bad energy. When you use your urine on your property, that alerts the powers that they, that home is yours. It also helps keep unwanted visitors away.
Right. It sure does. In this world and in the other.
Yes.
So it can be very, very effective. And it's important, guys, remember, like when we're talking about using this type of a method, that you're applying this as a floor wash. So this is not how you are like cleaning the dirt off of your floors. That's probably just going to make a gross mess. You are cleaning your floors, you're decluttering, you're getting things up, and then you're going back over it with the urine and cayenne mixture or, you know, salt or whatever you're doing. And you're doing that as like a spiritual cleanse after the physical cleanse. Like,
yes.
Peeing on your dirty floors and expecting them to get clean. Clean your floors and then pee on them.
yes, exactly.
In that order. That's what you've got to do for optimal success. All right, guys. That is amazing, and I think the perfect segue into the Q&A portion here. We have been talking for quite a bit all about hexing, cursing, things that you might want to consider, things that you might want to do to protect yourself, methods of deploying this type of magic, etc., etc. But if there's anything that we've covered a lot, but if there's anything that we haven't covered, Coven members who are watching right now, you can drop your question in the Q&A box at the top of the chat for Dorothy. Or if you're not able to see the Q&A box, you can also just drop it in the chat and I will make sure to scroll through and be able to find it. Okay. Now, while people are gathering themselves and getting their questions together and things like that, I have a question for you, Dorothy, in terms of teaching this type of magic, because I know that you have your book, Utterly Wicked. Do you do any teaching on this type of magic, or do you know of resources where people could maybe learn more about cursing, hexing, baneful, left hand, whatever you want to call it, type of magic?
You know, I don't teach. You know, I don't teach anymore. Mm-hmm. I used to spend 6 to 7 months out of the year on the road. Okay. Not all at once, but that was a lot. And I did it for more than 20 years. Okay. And so now I've pretty much hung up my luggage. And because I have my own business, I don't really have time to teach anymore. So I don't do that. As far, you know, there are so many different magical systems that do subscribe to hexing and cursing. The only thing that I can really suggest to people is, you know, if they're looking for something other than what they find in a book, is talk to the people at your local occult shops and see if you can get a referral. There are, you know, there are lots of, there is lots of information to be held to, I mean, to be gained from talking to people at your local shops. So I would try that. I think it's a shame though, that in this day and time, there don't seem to be as many people who are willing to discuss that.
Yeah.
So even if you go to your local shop, you'll, trust me, you'll find somebody who knows all about this and that has no problem with it, but they're going to talk to you about it in very hushed tones.
Yeah, absolutely. Any of the witches that work in the shop would be able to talk to folks more about this type of practice and point people in the right direction, maybe in a way that goes like a little step beyond what might be like a more readily accessible in terms of publishing and things like that. So I think that's a great advice. And a lot of shops, I know my shop, offer consultations. And they're like totally free. So you can sit down with one of the practitioners and ask them questions about this type of magic. Because I definitely think this is a type of craft where personal experiences like the ones that Dorothy shared today are going to help you a lot. Because, you know, you want to hear from people that like, hey, I had success with this thing that I did. And you might have heard some things or had concerns, but let me tell you what the real deal is.
You know, and the internet is full of information, but I would also advise people to take what they discover on the internet with a grain of salt.
Right.
But they might read things on the internet and then have questions to ask people at their local shops. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I read something on the internet and all I can think is, oh my God, they're advising people to do this. What are they thinking? That's, you
know. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a starting point.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, for sure. Nisi says, really good tip about the salt. Thank you very much. She is a notes emoji, so she is taking notes about that. And I am over here checking in the Q&A box, and I don't see any questions. So that's usually a really good sign. That means we have covered enough material for folks in the audience to feel like they feel confident to go beyond just learning about cursing magic, but to actually practicing it if they need to, if that should arise. So I am going to take this opportunity, Dorothy, to thank you personally for writing Utterly Wicked, first of all, and just addressing the overall topic in such a approachable and kind of real life way and sharing your perspective on this type of magic. And thank you specifically for your hot foot powder recipe, because, you know, while that is a recipe that, you know, everybody and their mama's got their version of, it was your version in particular that I employed to get rid of the really irritating, annoying, absolutely awful blight in the community parking lot next door. All types of nonsense to go on, including what I think is like illegal car part welding. I don't know if it's a chop shop. I don't know what it is. It's supposed to be a parking lot, but it's the front for some other business that is not legal and that thinks it's okay to like be welding at like 7 a.m. on like a Sunday and things like that. And the owner's awful and everyone in the neighborhood's complained and the police have been involved and it's a whole thing. And anyway, it's gone.
Right.
Thank you very, very much for your hot foot powder, because that was a major component to the work that I did to get it gone. So thank you.
Oh, honey, that makes my day. Because I'm going to tell you, anybody making that kind of racket at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning deserves what they get.
It was one of those things that I like, you know, like I said, you apply your test, you explore other avenues. I called the owners, I called 311, I called the Department of Buildings, I called, you know, people in the neighborhood. I think the breaking point for me was a couple, I don't know them personally, I happened to be looking out the window being nosy one day, and I'm looking out of the window, and a couple came down to complain about the noise, rightfully so, and it resulted in him assaulting them with and then having the police called. I told them what I saw, and he went away. But then he was back in 3 days and back to the same nonsense. So for me, at that point, I was like, okay, well, if the Justice Department can't get involved, then another form of justice will have to get involved. And it just in that funny way that the universe works, utterly wicked, just showed up on my doorstep the next day. And I was like, huh, right. Is anything useful in here? thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad that took care of that. I'm thrilled.
Yeah, it was a very frustrating situation for a long time. So I'm glad it's being cleared up. And, now we'll pray for something beautiful and useful to the community to be put in its place.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
All right. So one more check of the Q&A box. It looks like we are all still good. Yes, awesome. Okay, so I thank you so much, Dorothy, for being with us. This was an incredible chat. I know that I have learned so much more about the topic of hexing, of cursing, and my magic, and I'm super grateful, because when we know better, we witch better.
Yes.
Where can folks find you if they want to get in touch?
Okay, they can find me at headwitch, all one word, at earthlink.net. They can email me there, or they can go to wickedwitchstudios.com, or they can go to dorothymorrison.com.
Thank you, witches, for tuning in to another episode of the Better Witch Podcast. New episodes air on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Bronx Witch Coven YouTube channel and your favorite podcast platforms. No matter where you're tuning in from, we want to know what you think about today's episode. So make sure to leave us a review wherever you are. A special thank you to Bronx Witch Coven members whose membership makes this episode possible. If you'd like to tune in to the live recording sessions, watch the behind-the-scenes footage, and participate in the Q&A for future episodes, consider joining the Bronx Witch Coven. You can support this podcast by grabbing some sweet merch over in the Bronx Witch merch shop, sponsoring an episode with an ad spot, or following us on Instagram at Better Witch Podcast. Remember, witches, when we know better, we witch better. See you in the next episode, and blessed be.